This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. My guest today is Audra Mulkern. Audra is author of Rooted in the Valley, The Art and Color of the Suquamish Valley Farmers Markets. She also writes and photographs the Female Farmer Project. Audra Mulkern is here today to tell us about the Female Farmer Project, a chronicle of in-depth stories about the rise of women working in agriculture around the world. Welcome.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Why was the Female Farmer Project started? What is your history?
Well, over the process of photographing Rooted in the Valley, I really got to know my local farmers here in Western Washington. And I was really starting to understand why they came to market and really starting asking questions. And then one day it was just like a light bulb came on when I noticed that it was all female farmers at the market that day. And I kind of joked around like, you know, didn't any men apply to come to market or come work at the farms this year? And they said, actually, no, it's kind of a funny thing. And I said, that is funny. And I really stewed on that for some time, probably about 6 months before I really had a moment with one of the female farmers in her field. I was photographing her with my phone at the time, and I realized that these were the stories that I wanted to tell about these women who were farming. So I set out to figure out how to do that, and that meant learning how to shoot a camera. So that was the first part of it, was learning how to document, and that's really what it started with, is just wanting to photograph and document the women in my community.
What are the goals of the Female Farmer Project?
Well, it was a really simple goal to begin with. I wanted to document the farmers here in my community, here in Western Washington, and almost immediately it became much more complex than that. I started to realize that there was really stories there that were every woman's story, and I wanted to share those with everyone. And so, in addition to learning how to photograph, I decided to take some writing classes and figure out the best way to share their stories. So the goals were simple then. Now they're much more complex. As you know, I peel back the onion, I see that there's a lot of stories that need to be told.
What is the current status of women farmers in the U.S.?
The numbers aren't pretty, actually. Women control 7% of U.S. farmland and account only for 3% of its sales. 14% of all owned and operated farms are owned and operated by women. 30% of farmers are women. So there's definitely a great chasm there between women-owned and men-owned farms.
Overall, what are the backgrounds of the women farmers in the U.S.? Who are they?
That's been part of what really draws me to this project, is finding out who they are. They weren't who I expected. They're very educated. I've met more PhDs on the farm than I have in academia. There's a lot of former attorneys, former scientists, journalists, a lot of journalists, which is interesting, who have, you know, sort of gone away from the corporate world and returned to the land, but they're not second or even third generation. A lot of these women are first generation farmers.
How about the ages of the women farmers?
That is another interesting point for me, is women tend to be older than the average farmer. The average age of the U.S. farmer is about 60. It's a little bit slightly older for women, about 61. For young women, there's less than 4%. So there's, again, another chasm there between the age of the farmers. They're getting older, and there's not a lot of farmers in general replacing them.
Well, you've said a bit about this already, but how did you choose the women farmers to highlight in the Female Farmer Project?
It's interesting how we find each other. Sometimes they come to me and say, you know, I need to tell my story. And others kind of almost have to, I think farmers in general are a quiet personality. And if I ask them if I want to come to their farm and photograph them and interview them, they think I might be a little bit crazy. Like, why would you want to talk to me? So, you know, there is a little push and pull. many of the women I have found on social media. And each time I meet a woman, I'm like, oh, this is the perfect farmer to interview today. So there's been a lot of referrals and recommendations and nominations by their family or friends or their customers.
So roughly how many female farmers have you interviewed at this point?
I want to say it's probably close to 50 that I've interviewed, photographed many more that, you know, are sort of on the farm. I haven't posted them all because it's, you know, getting the time in between my life to write up the stories. And so I've explored with a lot of different styles, not only just interviewing and writing the story myself, but having personal essays written by the women. And that's when this project really becomes powerful, when we hear their words, you know, doing some Q&A style. It's become a really nice sort of combination of a lot of different stories and storytelling.
Would you share some of the stories of the women farmers you have highlighted in the Female Farmer Project?
There's a farmer on Whidbey Island, Lynn of Glendale Shepherd. She was not a second generation, but she had family members who farmed. And so she would spend summers on the farm, but she never intended that that would be her life. And she went in fiber artistry. She was an artist. And at some point, the call came to be too much. And so she is now farming up on Whidbey, and she farms sheep, and she makes cheese from the milk, and she uses the fiber and makes yarn. And so she's really still an artist. You know, even though she's technically a farmer, the artistry of her cheese and the artistry of her yarn really satisfy that part of her life. It's a very deep satisfaction for her, as well as the caring of the animals. It's really interesting to watch her animals. You know, she's a quiet observer of them. And for me to be an observer of that feels very sacred.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Audra Mulkern, who writes and photographs the Female Farmer Project, a chronicle of in-depth stories about the rise of women working in agriculture around the world. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP, 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Do you have another female farmer story that you would like to share?
Yes, there's Johanna in Iceland. I found her through social media, actually Instagram. People had been posting pictures of visiting these goats in Iceland. And my first thought of Iceland farmers were sheep. You know, the Icelandic sheep is quite well known. And so I contacted her and told her I was going to be in town and could I please come and interview her and photograph her. And at the time, I knew that she was struggling financially, but it wasn't until I got back to the U.S. that I realized that she was losing the farm. And the interesting thing about her is that she is the last Icelandic goat breeder in the world. And she was trying to save the breed. And because she was losing her farm, she was going to have to slaughter all of these Icelandic goats. There was another woman who was in Iceland at the time, Jodi Eddy, who was writing a cookbook. And so she put together a crowdfunding fundraising for her, and it was very successful, and mostly due to the fact that her goats appear on HBO's Game of Thrones. So the Game of Thrones audience came together and helped save this Icelandic goat farm. And I loved being part of that and sharing her story from my perspective and the images. And now she's being featured on the BBC.
Do you have an additional story?
There's a woman here in my own community, here in Western Washington as well, who single and owner-operator of her own farm, and she injured herself by, I want to say that she fell down on one of the hitches of her truck, and she was very ill for quite some time. I believe she had a heart attack, and she couldn't farm the next season. And when all of the tractors started up in the spring and she wasn't out there doing the same thing, it was devastating for her. And she went out into the middle of her fields and cried. And I thought, that's something really special there, that she wanted to farm so badly that it was that upsetting to her to not farm that year. So these are some really unique and special stories. To look at agriculture through this lens has been really special.
Why do women choose agriculture? What have you found?
I think by nature, women are nurturers. I think that's part of it. A lot of women choose it for the freedom of being their own boss, you know, to make your own hours, even though they're very demanding. They certainly don't do it for the money. But I really do believe that they want to feed their community, and that's why.
What challenges are faced by women farmers?
There's a lot. Not as much as, say, in Africa, where they are the majority of the farmers but have, you know, minority of the resources. Here, they do have troubles getting loans. You know, they're more likely to get prime rates on loans. They have a difficult time, because of that, getting access to land, which probably is a good representative of that number, that of why, you know, only 7% of U.S. farmland is owned by women. You know, and then there's the little things where people don't expect them to be the farmer, and so they often are the invisible farmer. They're ignored in the equipment stores, they're ignored at the farm shows. People sort of look over their shoulder for the farmer when they are in fact it. So there's some challenges, you know, and I think part of this project is sort of changing people's minds of who's growing their food. And hopefully changing how people think about how their food got to their plate as well.
Are there additional challenges that the female farmers have shared directly with you?
There's one funny story that one of the farmers in Montana shared with me about how she got a phone call. Someone wanted to buy a bushel of corn from her. And she said, sure, come on by. I'll load it up in the truck for you. And he said, oh, is your father around? And she said, no, he's not. And he said, well, I think I'll wait till he comes home. And she said, well, you can do that, but you still have to write the check to me because I own the corn. So there's those kinds of challenges and frustrations where people don't expect the woman to be the owner of the farm. You know, there's other things like dealing with death and loss on the farm and the frustrations of being a smallholder farm and being turned down for loans for their greenhouses and that type of thing. One woman told me that she was turned down because small farmers tend to not be good business people. And she was really frustrated by the fact that she couldn't get a small business loan because she was a farmer. There's some interesting challenges that they're tackling. You know, it seems to be sort of a new frontier for a lot of these women. There's one woman that I heard a story about, how she went in to get a loan for her abattoir, for her turkeys, and the banker said to her, wouldn't you rather be at home baking cookies? So there is definitely a perception problem, and we're trying to tackle that.
Is the approach of women to agriculture different from the approach of men?
I jokingly say that men grow crops and women grow food, but that's only because women tend to grow in small polyculture farms, so, you know, under 80 acres. Polyculture would be vegetables and meat animals and hens that are laying eggs, that type of thing. So they have a diverse polyculture on their farm. But they really approach it from a community perspective. One of the things that initially really intrigued me about this is that I noticed that the women farmers in my community were spending a lot of time trying to get their food into the schools and on the menus for the children. They were donating their excess vegetables to the local food bank and to local preschools. And they were really, really connecting with making sure that people had access to their food.
In what ways are women farmers creating change in our food system?
I think that because they are farming smaller farms and really connecting with the community, that is different. People really do get to know who their farmer is in that way. Whether they're, you know, meeting them at the farmer's market or having weekly delivery of CSA, that model really helps people understand who their farmer is and the path and the journey of their food. it's not going to feed a whole city that way with these small farms. We're going to need the big farms as well. But it begins to help people make the connection to their food, something that's been lost along the way.
Well, you've been alluding to this really, but what is the role of women farmers in sustainable agriculture? And some examples from your project.
Women are now more likely to farm smaller farms and use organic practices. And that's statistically from the USDA census in 2012. The next one is in 2017, so it'll be interesting to see if that increases as well. The larger farms, you know, the 180 acres and above, are statistically a conventional farm or farmed by men.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guest is Audra Mulkern, who writes and photographs the Female Farmer Project, a chronicle of in-depth stories about the rise of women working in agriculture around the world. What is the role of women farmers in food justice? Again, some examples from your interviews.
There was one woman farmer who reached out to me who was farming in West Seattle at the smallest organic farm in Washington State. And what I loved about her story is that she actually didn't set out to be a farmer. She, in fact, hadn't really eaten a vegetable until she was about 25 years old. And there's a personal essay on my website from her that explores that from a non-vegetable eater to organic farmer. But the interesting thing about her farm is that it sits on a transitional housing facility where many of the residents live with chronic mental illness. And so the farm serves many purposes, and primarily it's to help sort of therapy. That it was very helpful, they found, for the residents to really get their hands dirty. I mean, there's a lot of science that says that putting your hands in soil and the microbes really help with mental health. And so they use that as sort of gardening group, they think they called it. But they also are actually growing vegetables. They're certified organic, so they can sell to restaurants and at the farmers market. But they have such a demand from the residents that they don't need to. So they now, they'll set out a box of vegetables and they'll be gone by the end of the day. So the residents are learning how to use the vegetables that are being grown right there, that they've grown and had a hand in that. So that is, in my mind, a great food justice story. Another one would be a farmer that I met in the Bronx who coordinated many women, a lot of them in their 80s, to grow in empty lots and in their backyards to bring their vegetables to a farmer's market once a week, La Familia Verde. And their mission was that if you come to market hungry, you won't leave market hungry. And so they make sure that vegetables are making it into their community, these fresh vegetables that are grown in their community, which is even more important. So creating access for food, that seems to be sort of a specialty of some of these farmers. It's really great.
What is being done in the U.S. to promote women in agriculture?
The Assistant Secretary, Krista Hardin, has really taken it upon herself to task herself with promoting and creating access and resources for women in agriculture across the United States through the USDA. She's been traveling out to all of the different states and meeting with female farmers. And she has a lot of community websites that she's developed and has a web series of women farmers like mine that help inspire and share the stories of the trials and all the wonderful things that women are doing. Women and Hispanic farmers recently won a lawsuit against the USDA for discrimination, and the USDA set aside $1.3 billion in claim money. So some of the women and Hispanic farmers that have been discriminated against in loans are able to access those funds now.
Why are there so many fewer women farmers than men?
I think that's a really great question, and one that I'm always trying to figure out. I think that there perhaps was a whole generation that didn't inherit the farm. They were sent off to college, and, you know, that typical farmer's daughter, and they didn't want their daughter doing that kind of hard work. And so there is sort of a missing piece there. There's a lot of mechanization that's happening on farms as well. And so I'm not sure that appeals to women so much as the, you know, really getting their hands dirty and hand planting the vegetables, I think really appeals to women. And so I think that's why we're seeing a rise now.
What can we do to support women in agriculture?
Buy their vegetables from them directly. That gives them almost a 30% raise. You know, if you look around at your local farmers market, you'll notice the same thing I did a few years ago, that many of them are women, and many of them have made that big trip, you know, sometimes hours, to come to market and set up long before you showed up and will be there long after you leave. Don't make them pack up too much stuff to take home. Buy some of it, take it to your own home.
What kind of response are you getting to the Female Farmer Project?
Well, not just the female farmers themselves are excited to see these stories, but women from all walks of life really enjoy these stories. When I first started out, I was a little nervous about how men would react to me sort of exploring this through this gender lens and really focusing on women. And I sort of expected it to be negative, but it's been quite the opposite. Men are thrilled to see sort of the legacy of their grandmothers and their mothers honored in this way, because for so long, they have been the invisible farmer. If you do any sort of looking for books or images on the internet, there's no women farmers there. And so it's been really quite an honor for me to get these images out there and have someone to point to and say, that's what I want to do someday. You know, that's been really great. And I have heard stories of and have met people who have followed the project and then become farmers themselves because of it. So that's been really terrific. You know, if I can inspire 1 or 100 women, or, you know, even men, just inspire sort of the next generation. You know, the millennials talk a lot about returning to the earth. And I think this is why we're seeing this rise now, is that leaving that corporate world behind and getting their hands dirty, risking the, you know, no life insurance kind of lifestyle. But it's been really, really terrific to see the response from around the world even. You know, it's been translated into Italian and German, and I've even found people translating my work into Russian as well. It's been a wonderful response.
What are the future plans for the Female Farmer Project?
I have big plans for it. I'd like to take it to a bigger audience and make it a multi-platform project. I think I've just found the tip of the iceberg, and there's so much more, many more stories to tell. There are women out there who are really doing some interesting things, and I like to say, while this is a project of studying agriculture through a gender lens, the gender is the least interesting thing about them. They are really doing some cool things out there, and I want to find out what they're doing to be innovative and creative.
Is there another favorite story of female farmers you'd like to share?
There's a female farmer in Brooklyn. Actually, she has 3 farms now. She's a rooftop farmer. And what's interesting about her is that she actually grows hydroponically. So she's combining, you know, sort of science and engineering and farming, and it feels very high tech and so different from sort of typical farms. You know, you have to climb a flight of stairs to get there, and you walk in and everything's programmed. She can literally control the weather from an app on her phone. But as she moved through the crops, she tasted them just like I've seen every other farmer do. So I find that it's interesting that farmers have such a refined palate because they need to know when their vegetables are ready. So it was really interesting to see what you consider sort of a traditional farmer and this high-tech farmer, and yet it's the same thing.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
To get to know your farmers helps you understand the journey that the food takes from seed to your plate. And reach out your hand and introduce yourself to the farmers at the market or ask their advice. If they're not too busy, I'm sure that they would love to give it to you or tell their story to you. You know, you'll be surprised at the stories and how interesting their backstories are. Many of them, you know, were sitting in a corporate cubicle 5 years ago or 10 years ago, and their journey is an interesting one as well.
Well, thanks so much for being here, Audra.
Thank you for having me.
You were just listening to Audra Mulkern, who writes and photographs the Female Farmer Project. For more information, check on the web at femalefarmerproject.org. Again, that's femalefarmerproject.org. The sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters program you have just heard will be on the streaming archives section of KEXP's website at kexp.org for the next 14 days. In addition, sustainability segment interviews are available as podcasts, along with KEXP's music podcasts. Go to kexp.org, click on demand, and then podcasting. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on listener-powered 90.3 FM, by mobile app, and on kexp.org.